Today's readings wonderfully point out the pre-existence of Jesus, when the universe was formed. And the Gospel reading is about the incarnation of the pre-existing Word into man. We know that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. What a great assurance we have of and from our Savior. In order to reconcile sinful people to the Holy God, Jesus must be God in human flesh. Jesus must be God in human flesh. Jesus, according to John, has been a part of creation from the very beginning. What occurs now is that God's eternal Word, God's reason, order, and very being is coming down to earth to take on human flesh. This is not the first time God has got involved in human history, of course. God has been at work in the world through His covenant, law, judges, kings, and prophets. But now God is getting more personally involved as the very Word of God takes on human flesh and dwells, literally tabernacles with us in our own human form. John begins his Gospel with his description of Jesus Christ. He never mentions Jesus' name until verse 17. But it becomes clear right away that he is talking about Jesus, rather than beginning with the story of his birth. John confronts us with his deity in eternity. Moses begins Genesis by confronting us with the majesty of God. John confronts us with the majesty of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John wants us to stand in awe of Jesus as God, and as the one who reveals the unseen God to us, just as the Word reveals an unseen thought. John's point is that God has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the eternal Word, the creator of everything, who reveals the life and light of God to this dark world. Jesus is the eternal Word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We need to be clear on what John is affirming here, because it is the foundation of the Christian faith. It is the foundation of the Christian faith. Three things. First, Jesus is eternal. Let us look at Paul's statement in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. The passage has been read this morning to us. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This passage is one of Paul's most profound and powerful descriptions of the person of Jesus Christ. One of the most important early church controversies over the person of Christ centered on these verses. Arius, a Libyan priest who lived in the 4th century and was an early church heretic, used the firstborn of all creation from Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 to argue that Jesus was the highest created being not equal with God. But in the very next verse, Paul explains what he means by the firstborn. For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. If all things have been created through him, then clearly he is not created. He is eternal. The second point. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. John, in today's Gospel reading, writes, "And the Word was with God." We should understand from the preposition the two ideas of accompaniment and relationship. Not only did the Word exist in the beginning, but he existed in the closest possible connection with the Father. This shows that the Word is not an impersonal idea or philosophy, but a person. This person is distinguishable from God. Although, as the first and third phrase of verse 1 shows, he is the eternal God. In verse 2, John repeats the first two phrases of verse 1, both for emphasis and to make sure that we understand what he is saying. The Word is distinct from God. The Word was in the beginning with God. While the Word is God, the Word is distinct from God. Although our finite minds cannot comprehend the mystery of the Trinity, Scripture is clear that God is one God who exists in three distinct persons. Each person is fully God, and yet he is not three gods, but one God. The third point is, Jesus is the eternal Word. Jesus is the eternal Word. John chapter 1 verse 14 clearly makes this identification. "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." I assume that most of us are aware of the Greek Logos, which simply means Word. We see its uses here in John 1 and in Genesis 1, where the authors repeatedly state, "And God said," Psalm 33 verse 6 states, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made." By the word. Verse 9 repeats, "For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Psalm 107 verse 20 declares, "He sent his word and healed them." He sent his word and healed them. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 says, "God's word accomplishes the purpose for which he sends it forth." There is a creative power in the Word of God. And Jesus is that Word. So when John calls Jesus the Word, he means that God has spoken to us and revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the eternal creator of all things. The ancient Greeks and the Jews knew all about the Logos, the Word. It's so in the Logos, the creating and guiding and directing power of God. They saw in the Logos the creating and guiding and directing power of God. The power which made the universe and kept it going. Jesus is that Logos, the Word who came down to earth. The prologue to the Gospel of John, which we have read this morning, introduces the main theme that are to appear throughout the Gospel. Jesus' pre-existence, but I believe the central theme of the prologue is verse 12 and 13. That when we believe in Jesus, we are born of God and become children of God. Even though many, including many who were close to him, did not recognize in Jesus what God was accomplishing, all those who do recognize and receive him are invited to become God's own children. Note the freedom with which John imbues this invitation. Children born not of blood. We will not be subject to the frailties of human flesh forever, or the will of the flesh, or the will of humans. We will not always be subject to the whim and will of others. Rather, we are children of God, restored to God's intention in creation. I think this is why John does not give us details of Jesus' birth. First, he is ultimately more interested in our birth. John is interested in our birth, our new birth as children of God. According to John, it is not about Jesus' birthday at all, rather it is ours. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16, we cannot know God who dwells in unapproachable light. We cannot know God who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, unless he chooses to reveal himself to us. John's point is that God has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, because he is our light. We should let him shine into every decision we make, and into every area of our lives. To know God, look to Jesus. To know God, look to Jesus, the eternal Word of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,